welcome to our myopia morning for the month of November. This is an exciting one. Host Scott, co-host Aaron, and kind of a guest panelist Kelly take you through the kind of classic anime Sailor Moon. They're the first anime brought to America aimed specifically at female viewers. So it's interesting. And well, you'll have to listen and see if it brings back the old nostalgic warmth. And for those of you planning to come visit and see me at Cineprov, quick change, scheduling change. Our second show in December 20th has been canceled. And we will be doing the nostalgic show, the Ruining Childhood Memories show, on the 7th. We only have one more episode to remind you of this, but there's still a show on December 7th. It's just not going to be the Mexican classic Santa Claus versus the Devil. We're going to be doing the Rudolph Christmas Rankin-Bass special and the He-Man Christmas special. So enjoy that if you can. But we will be doing two shows in January. More on that as I know more. Also, all we want for the holidays is reviews. So please review us on iTunes, share us on Twitter, join the Facebook group. It's all good. But without any further ado, please enjoy.
The Earth Station MCU podcast is your home for all things related to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Join our debrief as we discuss Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, upcoming and past favorite Marvel movies, cosplay, comics history, toys, games, interviews, and all things MCU. Whether you're a hero or a villain, a new viewer, or have been reading comics since you were a kid, there's something for you on Earth Station MCU.
Welcome to Myopia Mornings. This is a podcast dedicated to revisiting the TV shows we all loved growing up and seeing just how well they hold up. This week we watched the Japanese classic Sailor Moon, about a young girl who uses her magical powers of crying and tiara tossing to punish evil. To discuss whether it holds its own, we have on panel
Aaron
and Kelly.
And I'm your host, Scott Miller. So let's just dive right in. Aaron, if you could get us started, give our listeners a quick run through of what this series is all about.
Okay, so you kind of got to with the girl who uses magical powers of crying and tiara tossing to fight evil.
Surely there's more to this show's premise than that. Yeah. I hope so.
There is. Okay, well, for starters, Sailor Moon, While an episodic, really does have sort of a linear storyline, so it makes sense to watch them in order. Unlike some of the other cartoons where you could just, come in at any point and just see something that was confined to that episode, this one really does tell an overarching story. And that story begins with a teen girl. She's 14. She does cry all the time. She makes terrible grades. Anyway, we find her in school and all of a sudden, there's a talking cat. So she finds a talking cat, which she embraces more easily than
you Japanese
probably would.
Anime stuff. Oh, a talking cat. There it is.
Exactly.
Pretty standard.
So the cat tells her that she is actually a sailor scout, and it is her responsibility to save the world. Naturally, during this time, her best friend has some sort of demon person who's taking over her jewelry shop, and Sailor Moon has to go save the day. But anyway, That's episode one.
Right.
This is our introduction. But
so the show is about her becoming a sailor scout.
Yes, which is sort of like a Japanese superhero. And yeah. they're a gang like the Avengers. They're a bunch of scouts all named after different planets. And hands down, Sailor Moon is the most worthless. So all of her buddies are usually the ones who save the day. But through this episodic, you find out about who Sailor Moon really is, where all of these people come from, why there are suddenly demons on the planet and talking cats. It's basically a long way with some fighting of getting to the origin stories of our characters.
Mm. Well, full disclosure, I have never seen this show before. This was the first time I had seen Sailor Moon, which was very interesting, experience. This is not the first Japanese cartoon I've ever seen, so it wasn't like a total culture shock. And honestly, this, I've seen much, much worse things than this. I wouldn't even consider what I saw bad at all. And I'll get into that as we go. But I know both of you grew up, or at least have experience watching this show a lot. So I don't have any memories to compare this to. But Kelly, I'll let you started off if you have anything that you remember about the show, you know, before we watched it for this episode.
Yeah, so I used to watch this with my neighbor across the street. I remember her name's Ashley, and she was a huge fan. Huge fan. So I watched it with her every once in a while. I remember, I think there was a movie that came out, and we rented it, and it was subtitled. All of the episodes that we watched were dubbed. So they were all in English. But the movie was subtitled. And I remember being surprised by that. I don't think at the time I had any experience with anime or any actual knowledge that it was actually Japanese. Hmm. I mean, I guess maybe in the back of my head. But this was, I don't know, I guess early middle school for me. So I remember being surprised, and I remember getting very sidetracked talking through it and not reading all the time, so I don't remember the plot.
Sure.
I remember enjoying it. I don't know. And the biggest thought that sticks out in my head and stuck out in my head even still while I was watching it is completely irrelevant to the entire series. But I just kept thinking, oh my gosh, these animators only know how to make people walk like they're looking at a person's shadow. Because you never see their knees. And I had the same thought today, so I'm very mature.
Oh, there you go.
We've come a long way. Yeah. Well, my memories of this was must-see TV for me. Like, I would literally bike home from playing with my friends if they didn't want to watch it, specifically so I could watch Sailor Moon. And when we started picking episodes or started going through the episodes we chose, I was astonished by how much of it came back to me. Like characters that I couldn't really remember why they were important. But for example, there was one of the love interests, not Tuxedo Mask, but one of the love interests, I was like, I think this guy's about to die and here's how. And yeah, I couldn't believe that I remembered some things like that. But I remembered watching this. Embarrassingly, I really dug the romantic aspect of it. Again, I was really young. I thought this was how boys and girls certainly acted. And plus, there were costumes. It should be. I also watched. I watched completely English versions. So today was actually the first time that I'd seen the original Japanese with the subtitles.
Yeah, we should mention that the episodes we watched were the originals. They have English subtitles. The theme songs are all in Japanese. I imagine that's a slightly different experience than what was aired here.
I was immediately disappointed because yeah. I absolutely know the theme song of Sailor Moon by heart. And so I went to sing it, as you do. And yeah, when it came out in Japanese and then I was looking at the subtitles at the bottom, it's an entirely different experience.
Yeah,
but if you get the chance to check out the Japanese versions, I didn't notice that the content was different than what I remembered as a kid.
I usually find subtitled versions to be a little easier to to take, because a lot of animes are just like over the top with emotional reactions and screaming and things.
The English dub?
And well, English, Japanese, whoever's talking, it's a lot of like, oh my God! Yeah. And when it's in another language, it doesn't grate on me as much because I'm just reading them go, you know, you can't say that. That's terrible. But in English, it just sounds so weird because it's like culturally it doesn't flow for me. So I kind of prefer the Japanese voices where I'm like, sure, that sounds about right. I don't know anything, so why not?
I'm pretty sure, though, as a kid, if all we had was the Japanese dubs with the subtitles, I wouldn't have watched it.
Well, no. I mean, you're not going to get 10, 12-year-olds to read when they don't have to.
No, not on TV.
If I want to read
I'm not going to watch TV to do it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like, I would have read a book, or had this been, you know, a manga or something, sure.
Yeah, and I'm sure there is some.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Well, right, so we had mentioned it before. We watched 4 episodes. The episodes are, you know, what you'd expect, about 20, 22 minutes long without commercials. We started with the very first episode, which Aaron gave kind of a rundown before, which, you know, it's the pilot. It sets up the premise. It sets up the lead characters. So it's a good way to start, especially for someone like me who's never seen it before. The episode, all these episodes have very funky names. I mean, this one's called The Crybaby, Usagi's Beautiful Transformation. Usagi is the lead. Is Sailor Moon. She is absolutely a crybaby and a dumpling head and an idiot.
No,
go ahead, Kelly. By all means, go ahead.
I would never have been her friend.
No.
The first line to the show is, I'm a 14-year-old girl, and I'm a crybaby, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
If that's your sum up of yourself, I'm really hoping that I'm going to be there and I'm going to be like, oh no, you're underestimating your worth. No, she was overestimating her worth with that sentence. I would have slapped her silly.
Well, don't you love, though, how later, and we'll get to this in the podcast, but how later her special power of crying is what ends up getting her the special stone that makes her pretty much invincible? Like, her tears turn into the most powerful weapon of all.
Crying was her power. The one good thing she's at, yeah.
I really, really want to hope that it wasn't the crying, it was the love.
Right.
And just simply
Kelly coming in with way too much credit.
Rewarded for being such a ninny.
Yeah. She truly, Sailor Moon is not the reason to watch Sailor Moon. Absolutely not. I really think that it's the supporting cast of characters that's going to get you through this, because Sailor Moon is kind of, to me, she represents that Japanese trope of sweet but ditzy blonde girl that I've seen in a lot of Japanese anime. Even in, we watched Death Note recently, and the blonde girl is lovesick and stupid and Sailor Moon without the powers, basically. So I feel like Sailor Moon is very tropey.
Yeah, she is. And, you know, it's funny because I was sitting there watching this show and I was like, I remember liking her. So I don't know if I just watched different episodes or I thought it was funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I'm not really sure, but I cosplay and I've made a Princess Serenity cosplay for a client. And I just sat there and I was thinking to myself that all of the people that cosplay Sailor Moon, not the other Sailor Scouts, but that cosplay Sailor Moon or Princess Serenity have to have not remembered what she was doing.
Right. Yeah.
All they remember is the transformation scene and that's about it, right?
Which is totes and props, by the way.
Yeah, we have to get into that. Some of I reached out online to a bunch of our listeners to ask them for their input on Sailor Moon. I wanted to get their thoughts, and one of the guys who actually did comment. Here, I can read it to you. Oh no, where are you?
I know.
Considering
you're
I would have been 13 or so at the time, I do remember all the guys talking about the transformation sequences. It's all just proof young guys really are that desperate sometimes.
It's true, because I'm looking at this scene and I was like, wow, she's 14 and she's got boobs. I'm 29 and I don't. That was my thought. And then you find, like, so you get Tuxedo Mask's transformation later on, and he's fully clothed.
Oh, yeah.
That's just rad. Are you serious? Fully clothed. Fully clothed. It's not even like a hint of muscle. Nothing. I get nothing. It's not fair.
You get a cape and a top hat.
That is not enough. You know it.
No. Isn't that weird? Doesn't that seem backwards? This is clearly a show aimed at young girls, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, why would our transformation sequence be totally aimed at young boys and the chance to aim something at girls?
Because it was drawn by boys?
It's just like, girls don't want to see that.
Because it was drawn by boys?
I don't know. Maybe young girls don't want to see that. Because I didn't remember ever being scandalized by the transformation sequence until today.
Yeah.
Honestly, I didn't think about it until Erin brought that up, where she was like, gosh, I can't believe the sequences are like this. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. So it went right over my head. So I probably would have been that kid who would have been like, I don't need to watch this. And, you know, some guy at school is like, but the transformation sequences. What?
I feel like Tuxedo Mask is the least attractive dude in this series, which I guess makes sense since he ends up with Sailor Moon.
He doesn't have the locks.
But yeah, every other guy in this show, all of them are bad, by the way, but every other guy in this show has like this luscious mane.
Oh yeah.
Right?
The good stuff. Enviable. Yeah, the good stuff. Enviable.
Oh, like long, wavy, like think... I don't know. Who's got hair like that? Not 80s rock
Fabio.
Star. Fabio. Right, but close. Yeah, I mean, almost. I just want to know what conditioner they use. Is it evil conditioner? I'll be evil.
I'll be evil for conditioner.
I think in this universe, I'd want to be evil anyway.
You usually want to be the villain. So.
Oh, that's true.
And Sailor Moon's grating, so you don't want to be the the good guy.
No, I want to be Sailor Mars. I want to be Sailor Mars. Because
Sailor
she's
Mars
the only
badass.
Person that is like, oh my god, stop talking. Shut up.
And she shoots
episode,
fire.
I'm like, yes.
So.
Yes, this chick's got it going on. I like her.
I was always into Sailor Jupiter.
Yeah?
Yeah, I dug her. Not whiny and crybaby like Sailor Moon. And plus, she's a brunette, so I identified with that. But also, like, she calls down the thunder, which I don't think I remembered as a kid actually came out as lightning. That was interesting. When I saw her this time, when she, you know, like, brings the thunder and it's all lightning. But I'll let it slide.
Maybe the English dub,
my favorite.
Maybe the English dub changed the thunder or thought to lightning to make more sense to the little Americans.
I don't remember.
What about the sailor who shoots bubbles? What's going on there?
That's the dumbest!
Who's that? Is that Mercury? Which one's
Mercury.
That?
That's Mercury. And she's the smart one. So
I know!
Yeah.
Why would they give her bubbles?
Yeah, that's I said
this
to
is
Scott,
like,
I was like...
This is like the Ninja Turtles. They're like, oh, you're the smart one. Here's a stick. you don't need swords or blades of any kind. Here's a stick. Go get them, man. Like,
even if her superpower had been to throw a stick at somebody, that would have been better.
It would have been more effective. Yeah.
Bubbles, attack!
Like, every time she was... Oh, my God. What was it? Bubble, what was the other word?
Oh, I don't know.
It was like bubble stream or something, and I was like... oh my God, you're that fish from Finding Nemo. Yes.
I immediately thought of like My Little Ponies. Like there should be some flying pony with a sunshine on its butt.
Yeah. Like attacking with rainbows.
With the intro with Tuxedo Mask flying in on a Pegasus.
I don't think I noticed that.
Do you remember? In the last two that we watched?
They updated. Where they,
yeah.
A Shadow Pegasus?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Not a Shadow Pegasus.
Don't we all?
Right?
Yes, we do.
Obviously. Well, let's keep it moving here. The next episode, speaking of luscious locks, the next episode we watched is episode 24 called Nauru's Tears, Nephrite Dies for Love. Nephrite, the one of the bad men who
with
has
the
a heart
hair.
And the luscious locks. This was the this is an episode that I think Aaron, while you were watching it, you started going, I know how this ends. I know what happens here.
Yeah.
This to me was a super dark episode. Like you watch the first one and it's bubbly and
silly
and goofy and whatever. And then this one had like a really dark tone the whole time. Sailor Moon sort of in it, but not really. And I was like, damn, I've had this show wrong. I think that it's able to do an episode like this.
I had the same thought with that episode, but I think it was a really important episode to watch, especially for girls.
Yeah,
you know, I think it, and it's also a terrible episode to watch for girls because
agreed.
She lies to her the whole time, and that's okay. But
it suffers from Beauty and the Beast syndrome, I think,
yeah.
Where so Nauru is Sailor Moon's buddy, who is not one of the Sailor Scouts, and she falls in love with Nephrite. All the bad guys are named after rocks. Not sure why, but anyway, so she falls for Nephrite, and again, you can tell Nephrite's a bad guy because he has amazing hair and broad shoulders.
Because he starts off calling him by a different name.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like Mr. Sanjoin, something like that.
Yeah.
Can we just talk about the fact that she kept calling him Mr.? How much older is he than her?
That's what I thought. When I saw this, I was like, whew, that's a jailable offense, I think.
He could run for Senate, though. So,
oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, true. No,
there was a joke
so
in there.
True.
There was a really obvious joke. Let's move past that. That's not this show.
Yeah.
So this is definitely one of those.
Okay, well, like, we haven't actually said what happens in it.
Sure.
So
Nauru's into Nephrite, who, again, lying to her, big bad guy. And again, in this, the bad guys are kind of like demons. They're definitely otherworldly. So he double crosses her, but he also really does care about her. And she's the first person to ever teach him about caring, which is a whole big dialogue that they have in this. And in the end, his bad guy buddies end up betraying him, and he steps in to save her, and he does not make it. He dies. So
in her arms, while she calls him Mr. Nephrite, Mr. Nephrite.
Yeah.
I think that's a subtitling translation thing. It's probably Nephrite-san,
really,
and they just changed it to Mr. Nephrite. But it's sad. And it's played to be sad, and this is a character on a show that I thought was going to be light who actually dies. They're gone. That's it.
Yeah.
He had a story arc.
Luck too.
Yeah.
Isn't this the same girl? This is the same girl whose mom got taken over by a demon.
Yeah. What the hell?
Yeah, Nauru.
Her life is tough.
Yeah. She drew the bad straw, for sure. She's the one who should be crying in every episode.
Yeah, no kidding.
And yet.
The episode is called Nauru's Tears, to be fair.
Sailor Moon didn't cry in this episode, did she?
I think at the end, all the Sailor Scouts sort of stood around and sniffed.
Yeah, little sniffles.
I'm going to let that one slide.
Yeah.
Not curled in a corner.
Not really worth crying
like
over.
She failed a test or something. Yeah, pretty rough. But I did think that one demonstrated that this show had a depth that other children's shows did not have. It was willing to go places other children's shows didn't go.
Yes.
Yeah. And whenever you're willing to kill off a major character or some, or, you know, a multi-episode character. It really, you have an idea of, like, let's, you know, getting invested in certain characters, but knowing you're afraid, like, things can happen to them. I mean, this is totally like a Walking Dead or 24 or some other shows did this where it was like, oh, you really got into that character? Well, they're dead now.
Yeah.
And so that's crazy that they're doing this on a show like this. And I think that's interesting. I was not expecting that.
I wasn't expecting it either. And I think it really speaks volumes to the villains in this show. Because they turned on one another. The Sailor Scouts didn't kill him. People from his same, as they called it, evil corporation, are the ones that killed him. I mean, they wear the same uniforms, and they turned against each other.
That's right.
I feel like that's a really important piece of the plot.
It was good hair on good hair crime.
Well, it was okay hair on good hair crime.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, let's keep it moving here. We got two more. They kind of two more episodes. They link together, so we're kind of treat them as one episode here. The shining silver crystal is revealed. The moon princess appears. This is where the crying finally pays off. We find out who Tuxedo Mask is. We find out who the moon princess is. We find out a lot of things about the characters. I don't know how long this show goes on for, but this seems like the oh shit, everything's gonna change episode of the series. And again, this was Aaron remembers this happening, and she's like, doesn't, like, we're halfway through the episode, doesn't Usagi actually turn out to be the moon princess? And like a minute later she cries, rainbow gems merge with her tears.
I always knew she was the moon princess. Like, even I have to say, even as a kid, I saw through these reveals. I mean, how obvious is it that the moon princess who just happens to have the signature hairstyle of Sailor Moon that they've
Thank
shown
you.
So many times is Sailor Moon. I mean, it's shocking to no one. Or that Tuxedo Mask is actually the only guy with short dark hair in the series.
None of the Sailor Scouts. None of the Sailor Scouts have masks or different hairstyles. And I'm like, how do you not know who their secret identity is? No effort to hide it. Is it because all of their legs are bare and not half of their legs, and so you can't recognize them because they're more naked now? I don't understand.
It's the Clark Kent Superman. It's, you know, you take off the glasses and all of a sudden you just can't recognize them.
They didn't even take off glasses.
They didn't do it. Yeah.
They just changed outfits.
Circling all the way back to the transformation sequences. I mean, the first time she turns into Sailor Moon, I was like, so she looks the same, right? Like, is it just me? And Aaron's like, no, she's got gems in her hair now. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
So when they're like, who are you? She's like, I'm Sailor Venus. I'm like, you guys have met before. What is that? What am I missing here?
It's just your buddy in a different outfit. Yeah. Like, yeah. The selective amnesia.
She had the cat, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So these big reveals were perhaps not big or reveals, but they do go into a lot of the backstory of these people used to live on the moon, and it was perfection until the baddies came and, you know, burned everything up. And so it gets into reincarnation, actually, which was kind of interesting, I thought, for a kid's show. I mean, you know, that's one that I'm sure I probably had to be like, Mommy, what's reincarnation?
Yeah, that's pretty heavy stuff. I don't know where to go from there.
Yeah. Kelly, did you remember that at all? Were you in any way surprised by this reveal?
No, I wasn't surprised by the reveal. And I remembered the Moon Kingdom. Mm. I did remember that piece. And I remembered, not so much at the reveal, but as it was leading up, I was like, this is when he started talking about not having his memories. I started remembering that everything that they went through was a past, like past life type thing. And I couldn't remember if it was a past life or was like an alternate reality type of thing. So when they started talking about their past lives and remembering their past memories, I was like, this makes sense. Okay, I understand. Yeah. I understand this now.
I mean, especially if it's like, hey, 14-year-old idiot, you're really one of the great warriors in the universe. You know, especially the first episode, like jumping her right into a fight and expecting her to do anything. I'm like, why would she know how to do anything? You know, here we are 30 episodes later, and we're like, oh, because she used to know things. They all did. Right. And it should just come back to them.
I was really disappointed in her reaction. I was severely disappointed in her reaction to finding out that she was the princess and that she needed to save the world again, basically.
Oh, yeah. What did she... She cried. She cried, everyone.
She cried, and she goes, it's not my problem. I don't care. And I was like...
Yeah.
Who? What do you mean? It is absolutely your problem. Exactly. This is...
Your entire story, your whole story arc was that this is your problem.
You are literally responsible for fixing this. This is why you are here. This is why you were reincarnated. Like, there is a purpose to reincarnation. This is it.
Yeah.
What do you mean it's not your problem? You don't want to do anything.
Yeah. Yeah. As you are correct. Do not watch Sailor Moon for Sailor Moon.
No, that's for Sailor Mars, because I think she goes, doesn't she? She says something along the lines of, suck it up.
She slaps her. She walks up to her and slaps her across the face. Best moment in the last two episodes.
Oh, yeah.
I saw her walk towards her, and I was like, she's going to hug her or she's going to slap her. Please slap her. And she slapped her, and I was like, yes. Yes.
That's the sign of a good show. When your audience wants the protagonist to be slapped across the face.
She needed it.
She totally did. Yeah.
It's a growing experience.
I was like, you have dark purple hair and you speak to me, lady. You speak to me.
Sailor Mars got a follower today.
Oh, yeah.
Which is funny because Mars is not really my favorite planet.
What's your favorite planet?
I really like Jupiter and Neptune.
I'm fascinated by this. Like, please elaborate.
Go on.
Well, is it a size thing? For Jupiter, it could be a size thing.
I think this is a side thing. Just as a side note for the listeners, I majored in astrophysics. I have a favorite planet. No apologies.
Apologize for nothing.
That's right.
Anyway, moving right along.
Moving along. We're hitting up
also,
against
Tuxedo Mask is really stupid for putting the crystals on the floor in front of a magic.
Oh my god. How trusting is Tuxedo Mask? And so when I was watching it, I had this thought in my head. My first thought was, of course, that is really stupid. But my second thought was, is this kind of a Japanese thing? Like, is he trusting in the other guy to behave honorably?
Yeah.
And so I let
He's
it slide.
He's a
but
super
that was,
villain.
I know.
Literally a super villain. I know. Magical powers of transportation, which he already knew about.
He also knew that this is the same guy who killed the other guy we were talking about, Mr. Goodhair, a few episodes back. Like, he turned on his own. Why do you trust this guy? Oh.
I would not have trusted this guy. I would have put fake crystals down.
That's right.
Just saying, I would have been prepared for that. He walked by like 50 stores, including a jewelry store, on the way there.
That jewelry store is all over this show.
Yeah.
I mean, well, it's her friend's mom's store.
I know. Crystals, jewels. It's the theme of the show,
I think. The
sparklies.
I like that in one of the episodes, there was a subtitle next to the store that said jewelry. Yeah. And I was like, I recognize the store. I don't need you to tell me that it's a jewelry store, but thank you, subtitles.
Yeah, thank you, subtitles.
There was one random store in the show that just had an English title of the store. I was like, what the? Anyway.
It said Moon, didn't it?
No, it was like some kind of old, it was like Ragtime.
Yeah, it was
like
Ragtime.
That.
It just said Ragtime there. I was like, yeah.
Just an old American music club in little, you know, rundown part of Tokyo. Well, we're running up against it here, so let's start wrapping things up. As per usual, we'll go around the panel, get some final thoughts, things you want to get off your chest. We can start with Kelly.
On a whole, this did not hold up for me, and I'm really disappointed because I do remember enjoying it, but never again. And ladies, I love you, and I love Dragon Con, and I will go and I will support you and I will support your cosplay. But if you cosplay as Sailor Moon, I expect you to cry the whole time you're at Dragon Con. Otherwise, just don't wear it. Just don't do it. Don't do it.
Very fair.
That's it. Cosplay as Sailor Mars. She's a badass.
Agreed. Sailor Jupiter, also acceptable. I enjoyed the show. There was definitely some nostalgia in it for me. As with a lot of, I feel like a lot of the cartoons that we cover on Myopia Mornings either fall into the category of just god awful, don't ever touch it again, or, you know, you can maybe watch it in bits and pieces and return to it that way. And I feel like this one, for me, falls into the second category in that I really like the animation style. I do think there are some funny bits. I do think it goes into some deep topics. We didn't go into the later episodes, but there's apparently more death of characters that you would care about. So, you know, if you really want to be depressed, I think this is a good go-to. But I enjoyed it. I will say by about the third episode, I was like, this is not a show I can binge the way I did as a child. But yeah, I think it would probably still hold up for a girl of a certain age. Maybe just not my age.
Like a 3-year-old, maybe.
Just for the colors and the music. I didn't mention I'll mention the music in my bit.
I was thinking more along the lines of an 8-year-old, like at that age where you are starting to have a crush on boys so that the romance aspect appeals to you, but not to where you've actually had full on interactions with boys where you would know that these are atypical. So I've actually got, but like I said earlier, we did reach out to a bunch of folks via the interwebs, some fans, and they had some things to say. So I'll rattle a couple of these off for you guys. Kimberly writes, I liked it. The talking black cat had such attitude, loved him. Different girls with different personalities and powers, kind of like the star signs. That black cat, by the way, name is Luna, which Dan, we had a dude weigh in on this, and not about the naked ladies part. Dan writes, yes, Jupiter was my favorite. Woo, go Dan. Until Uranus was my favorite. She comes in later in the episodes we haven't seen. Tuxedo Mask is an interesting write, but damn, is he ultimately problematic. Artemis is greater than Luna. That's the other cat. Unsung hero of the show. Mars is always appropriately rated. I hope that means highly, because she's awesome.
Amen, sister.
Here's one after your own heart. Candace writes, it was on before school, so I watched it a lot. My mom hated it because Sailor Moon was always yelling and crying over nothing.
Nice.
But we got a lot of good feedback from folks. Girls saying that they used to play it with their makeup compacts. They would go out and play Sailor Moon out in the yard with their makeup compacts. Lots of girls saying that they had a favorite. By the way, none of the girls said that their favorite was Sailor Moon.
Yay! Yeah. Our listeners are smart.
Yes. We also had a couple of comments from young ladies who said that the show made them feel empowered. And I think if I think about the cartoons when I was younger, the girl cartoons, there weren't really a lot of superhero female type. Mm-hmm. Not that I can think of off the top of my head, anyway. Go ahead.
There were the Power Rangers, the pink and the yellow ranger. Are the only other ones I remember really feeling like that and the Sailor Scouts, I think, were the only ones that I really, really remember.
Yeah, like kick-ass girls. And so a couple of ladies mentioned that these characters made them feel empowered. And I think it should be noted also that the major bad guys, not the good-haired guys, the big, big bad guys are actually female also.
Yeah.
So it's a very female-powered show. It was my first anime, and I was obsessed. I organized a Sailor Moon fan club, which consisted of me and another girl, and we hand-painted tote bags with our Sailor Scouts. It was a very exclusive club, and we wouldn't let just anyone in. Mm. Not that anyone ever asked.
Speaking of fan clubs, I have to give a shout out to my best friend Caitlin, because she has two cats, and they are Artemis and Luna.
Oh. Woo! Nice.
Yeah. So see, Sailor Moon has shaped a generation.
I get this reference now.
It did. And it is for Sailor Moon. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Amanda writes, since the Sailor Scouts have a variety of personalities, I feel like everyone can find one they can relate to. And I think that's what makes it so popular.
Yeah.
I'd agree with that.
And that's usually a hallmark of these kind of team up hero shows. Like, I mean, I mentioned Ninja Turtles before, which I think is more guy-oriented. But there's a smart one. There's a tough one. There's a ditzy one. There's a, a rebel one. Like, Power Rangers kind of, that's pretty standard stuff, I think. So to have it all women is a good, makes it different. And it probably explains why I never saw it before. I mean, this is right in the time period where I'm watching stuff all the time. This is early 90s. And, I'm watching cartoons on the weekends, after school, whatever. And I was probably watching, a lot of the stuff we've already covered on the show, Ren and Stimpy and Animaniacs and, Batman and Doug and whatever. And I never saw Sailor Moon before. So this was my first experience. It didn't go as badly as I thought. I expected, I've seen some really rough anime, some really bad stuff. And this is not even close to being in that realm.
No, I enjoyed the animation. I did. And I enjoyed the storylines as a whole. I just didn't enjoy Sailor Moon herself.
Right. Yeah. And I'm with you on that. Like, I don't think her character is much to watch for, and this wasn't something that I turned on and was like, oh my God, this is so girly, or oh my God, this is so Japanese that I can't handle it, or whatever. So I was actually pleasantly surprised. I probably won't keep watching it or anything, but I can see why this was popular. And I'm a really big Cowboy Bebop fan, and one of the things that I love about that show is how amazing the music is. And I wrote this down while I was watching these episodes. Music, big underline right under it. And I just was like, the music in this show is really good, and it goes throughout the whole episode. And really, like every other Japanese show, really catchy theme songs at the opening, at the close. So that, I liked that. I mean, this wasn't, cheaply thrown together. So I get why it was popular. I don't know. I have no idea if this is the kind of thing 10-year-olds today would watch. I'll defer to what you guys said, but I better start wrapping things up here. I think that'll do it for us on this edition of Myopia Mornings. Be sure to subscribe to Myopia Defend Your Childhood wherever you listen to podcasts. Tweet at us at Myopia Podcast to give us your thoughts, like you heard on the show today. And tweet us your thought. We'll put out another call for thoughts for our next episode. And we'll give you a little hint right now that our next show we're going into is, it's got to be the only cartoon I can remember that has an entire episode devoted to the Jewish holiday of Passover. So join us next month, and thank you for listening.
Myopia Mornings is a member of the ESO Network and produced by Dude Letter Podcasting. It is hosted by Scott Miller and co-hosted by Nick Hoffman and Aaron Greer. It is edited by Nick Hoffman and Candace Burns. The theme song is Buddy by Ben Sounds, and the music is available on bensounds.com. Please rate and review Myopia Defend Your Childhood on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcast. Tune in next week when we put another piece of your past on trial. Thanks.